Welcome to Beyond the Sales Floor. I'm your host, Morgan J. Ingram, and what we're going to be doing is unveiling and unpacking sales playbooks from enterprise sales leaders.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Beyond the Sales Floor. I have Justin here. We've known each other for a very long time, so I'm excited that we get to reconnect here on the pod and hear what he's got going on. He's a very smart individual, so make sure that you take your notes here. But Justin, talk to us a little bit more about what your role is, and we're going to dive into it.
Yeah, dude, great to see you, man. I think first time we met was at a AAISP event back in maybe 2016.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Actually, I think we were both sitting in on a Tito Bort session, and that was the first time. And you were like asking most questions. That was pretty funny. But Justin Otley, I lead global sales development at a company called Talkdesk. I joined Talkdesk in about mid-April. I was with a German software company, Software G, for about 10 plus years prior to that. So it's been a big change, a big shift, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to talk about those shifts and those changes. But the first thing we want to talk about is, what's an experiment you're running right now that you're super excited about?
So there's a few. First one that comes to mind is because it's actually happening at this moment. We started these big drive, we call them drive events, but essentially, you know, like prospecting days, prospecting weeks. I would definitely consider myself, I wouldn't say prodigy of our boy, but I've learned a lot from Ralph Barcy, and as have you.
Incredible. And, legend.
Yeah, legend. Come on. So Ralph's put out a few good articles on prospecting days, and his first one was like 2019. And we like implemented that to a T at the last company and have just been fine tuning it month over month ever since then, really. So it's a week long prospecting event. There are some huge prizes and huge recognition and shout outs that we've put on this one because the last one we did was so successful. We've got leadership buy-in and involvement all the way up to our president and COO, CMO, head of go-to-market, all across the board. I think, our goal right now is to continue making these bigger and badder and better than the last one, because the end goal is so that we can start flying folks in to one central location, because these become such a giant revenue pipeline driving event. The short-term goal is to fly in people regionally, so maybe get our EMEA team together in like Lisbon, get the East Coast team and the US folks together, the West Coast team together, the APAC team in Singapore. I'm fired up. The last event, they drove about 80 meetings, 2 million in pipeline, a couple hundred thousand in closed one. And this time we're trying to beat 100 meetings, over 50 opportunities in pipe, and 5 million in closed one, or sorry, 5 million in pipe. And we're tracking well. So I think what's also cool is it's such an incredible opportunity for the SDRs to really build their brand within the company. And that's because of the tight involvement we have with leadership. So the last one we ran, one of our top winners, it wasn't a coincidence that he was promoted to AE within 45 days after that. And he was the first SDR promoted to AE at Talkdesk in like 2 years. So that's pretty exciting. Another thing we're working on is we're actually putting an office together in the Tyson's Corner area, which is like Northern Virginia, DC metropolitan. And we're not mandating everyone come to the office, but we are going to grow an SDR team or two locally, along with an intern program. And we're fired up to see, you know, their results compared to our remote folks' results. And like, yeah, maybe on a blitz day on a drive event versus the rest of the team. It's going to be fun.
I absolutely love this. This is a great answer. So one thing I want to dive into is, you said leadership is locked in with this. Like they're heavily aligned. Yeah. Where does it come from? Is that because leadership has go-to-market backgrounds, like founder, it was in sales? Is it because they have been SDRs before? Where's this coming from?
I think, you know, a big part of it comes from our president and COO. He came on about the same time I did. We have so many conversations together almost on a weekly basis. And I shit you not, since we've been talking together, he has not once brought up like the revenue pipeline portion about SDRs ever. He's never asked me about it. It's never the topic of conversation. All he wants to talk about, what he's super passionate about, is the talent pipeline, because he knows he has been at so many companies, taken so many companies public. He has seen firsthand the ROI in doing the talent pipeline piece the right way, especially within sales, but also throughout the organization. So, you know, this is like a, you know, this is like a double whammy here. It's a huge opportunity to continue our talent pipeline, but then also makes a giant impact in our revenue pipeline, you know, for the next four quarters.
I love that. I think it's really thinking about it as building a sports team, right? I know we use sports analogies a lot, but like in sales, but it really is, right? If you look at the dynasty of the Warriors, or you look at what the Chicago Bulls did, right? You look at, you know, all these different franchises, they were always like, how do we make sure we have a good talent pipeline to build a great team and do something great with that, right? So that makes complete sense on why that would be the focus. So when you're thinking about your team holistically and you're thinking about prospecting, how do you all go about it from an ABM perspective? Are you super, super tailored? Is it, hey, pods, style? I know you mentioned how you're experimenting, but curious on how, what the framework looks like.
Yeah. So I would love to say like, we've got ABM figured out, but we don't. So when I joined, here, we were, and still are historically, a very inbound reliant organization, not just from sales development, but the entire company as a whole. Really?
It's so, like what, 70, 80%? Like how high?
Yeah. 75 to 80% of the meeting, okay, of the opportunities pipeline, close one, all coming from inbound, right? Which isn't a terrible thing, but you can't scale that way, especially in this market, right? So
yeah.
So before we even try to start becoming masters at ABM, the last like 6-7 months, what we've been building is mastering our outbound motion, right? And for us, first and foremost, that starts with mastering our personas. You know, I think a lot of enablement teams at most companies, the enablement when you join a company is centered around the product information, right? But how can you call yourself a customer-centric org when it's focused on the product and it's not focused on the personas, the prospects, and the problems you solve for them, right? So
right,
that is what we've been working on. And yes, for sure, like, as we've been getting better there, now into our next fiscal year, our goal is to put together a really true account-based selling motion where we are targeting the right accounts to the right people with the right message through the right channel, right, and at the right time. And I think we're close to that.
Yeah, I mean, what you said right there, that's what prospecting is. A lot of people are like, wait, like, I might have the right messaging. Like, what? It's timing. Timing's a big piece of that, right? And so you have to be able to orchestrate that appropriately. And so that actually goes into my next piece, which is, for what you all have, there's a lot of different products that you're going after. So how does that work with the team that you're leading? Are you saying, hey, everyone goes after everything? Is it segmented vertically? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, so right now we've got roughly 30 SDRs globally. There's 4 leaders. We are growing. I'm really excited about the growth of this team. I can't share numbers yet, but the way we're broken down, you know, first of all, we're hybrid, so there is no inbound or outbound focused. I think that's super important as you try to grow into a true ABM account-based selling motion. I'm a big believer in keeping them hybrid, keeping them focused on their accounts. I know other people would disagree with that. So we're hybrid, and then it's broken down by segment, geo. We have 2 different verticals. So we have 2 different teams that are vertically focused. We're going to experiment with that a bit more. Did that help answer that question?
It did. So this kind of leads into my next question, which is, based on the verticals you have and what you've seen, does your conversion on those channels change? So for example, for one vertical, you've seen, wow, email's doing well for us, and the other one, maybe it's calling. Or maybe they're the same.
So that was one of the first things I looked at when I got here, right? When I saw that, how inbound reliant we were, it was like, okay, what does the channel success look like? First of all, we weren't measuring it. It was, and you, sometimes that can be really difficult depending on the systems you're using, the processes in place to get it. Roughly today, it's like a 40-40-20 split, 40% email, 40% LinkedIn, 20% phone call. Now, I wouldn't have a problem with that if it's producing the results we need, but there's a big, big focus, a big concerted effort on our calling. There's a lot of things happening behind the scenes, a lot of things we're doing with leaders, with the team, especially with the Drive event, which is driving that mindset and that culture. At the end of the day, I don't care what the split is, but clearly we know we can improve. And if we want to master our outbounding and we know what's coming down the pipeline as far as like the future of email, right? Like now, if there was ever a time to master over the phones and get better at your connect rates and your, you know, call to meeting rates, it's now. So that's what we're doing.
You know, you mentioned the 20% on the phone. Is that because, and I've been hearing from people I've worked with and talked to, that their call to connect is going down, and then most people, they're not even getting a connect because it's going straight to do not disturb, or it's appearing as like spam risk call. So is that, you think, the reason why the conversion is down? Do you think it's a skill-based thing? And then the other thing that I was going to ask is 40% is LinkedIn, a lot going on there. What are you doing? Are you just sending out emails? Are you commenting? Like, what's the strategy?
Yeah. So from a calling standpoint, I can tell you when I got here, we didn't have much of a call coaching culture in place.
Yeah.
Part of that is because we, on the tech stack side, we had made a couple mistakes that we're still recovering from as far as like what our CI was and is. That's right. And then whatever CI we had at the time, we just weren't using it the right way. Like I used Exec Vision from like 2017 to 2022. It was like the original. And like,
shout out to Steve.
Yeah, dude, Steve, it did what it needed to do. It's how you use it, right? And it's the attention you give it. So big part of that was call coaching. I think then the other part of it was, you know, we were mandating like, you know, 50 calls a day, but no one knew why. And like no one was bought into like 50. Like why 50? Like I'm a big believer. Something we're working on is building this new metric framework where essentially the number of calls you make per week is based on your own individual data and conversion rates. So you might have to make like 100 more dials a week than someone sitting next to you, and that's because your connect rates are lower, your call to meeting rates are lower.
Right.
But the beauty of that is once you show them the math on how to determine what that looks like, you can also then show them like the reverse funnel on how that backs in to their number and like how it leads to overachieving. If we look at connect rate to call to meeting rate to your show rate to your, you know, meeting to opportunity conversion rate, then they see that and they're like, okay, now I get it. Like that's my number. I own that number. And then the beauty behind that is, if you focus on making those small incremental changes, so like, hey, here's how we can up your connect rate by 1 or 2%. You know, that doesn't sound like a lot. That's going to get you like 12 more conversations a week. And right. And so once their connect rates start to increase, once you get them more efficient over the phones, a lot of times what you see is they don't want to make less dials. Like they start to become more motivated to make more. And then as far as the social piece, I need to spend a little bit more time there, but we've got a handful of some social masters, and one of my next projects is essentially documenting everything in their head and doing what our boy KD calls the wiggle, defining what good looks like. Right.
Yep. Yep.
So that's the next piece. But honestly, I think a big part of it, and to your point, my team's been using burnt numbers for a while. So it's definitely impacted the connect rates. So for so long, we had people avoiding the phones from no coaching, from shitty connect rates, and then it forced them to really master where else they're going to be getting their opportunities.
Right. No, that makes a ton of sense. And yeah, I think from the LinkedIn perspective, I asked because like there's so many ways to connect and engage, and it's an ever evolving platform, and there's a lot that can be done there to reach out. And, you know, speaking of a lot to be done there, AI, AI has been on the rise and some people like to use it. Some people think it's going to take over the world. You know, depends on how you feel about it. But like, how are you, or are you at all, leveraging AI and what you're doing? Are you using a ChatGPT, a Claude, nothing? What's going on?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, besides the obvious answer of drafting and critiquing emails, which is what everyone talks about, and obviously it's super powerful. Yep. For me, what I like to nerd out on a little bit more is using ChatGPT. It goes back to the first thing we talked about on helping you. Sorry, I got a little blurry camera there. That's because I'm very
moving around.
The camera never keeps up with me. Well, maybe it'll focus back. But so it goes back to mastering your personas. So I've had a lot of fun playing around with ChatGPT on essentially creating, this is still a work in progress with our enablement team, but creating a buyer's matrix for our top core personas. And using ChatGPT to do that has by far been the most beneficial way of creating a buyer's matrix that I've ever worked with. Because if you think about when you're looking to get persona information at a company, it was written by your company, right? Like it was written by your product marketers or someone like that. And even though it's still probably good, it's probably not as hyper relevant as it could or should be to what your prospects care about. So that's been big. You know, like asking ChatGPT or any form of AI to create, if we talk about like account research is the other one, sorry. So there's mastering your personas, then account research. We know like to do true account-based marketing, that can take a lot of time.
Right? For sure.
True account-based selling, account-based sales development takes a ton of time. So you can do your account research obviously in a fraction of the time. I think that's super beneficial. Like saying like, hey, ChatGPT, analyze Wells Fargo's, you know, their recent 10K report and summarize some of those key risks that Talkdesk can potentially solve, right? And then like paste in different like risk factors from their 10K like section. Think about it, like back when you and I were SDRs, how long that took.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It was like a quarter exercise.
Yeah.
So long. So do you, I mean, it sounds like you're getting in depth on how to do all this. So like, do you have things that are already prompted, right, to do this? I'm assuming a skill. Do you have a prompt that you like to use that you want to share? Like on like, hey, this is what I'm doing to get those results.
Yeah. Like I've put together like a little prospecting with ChatGPT guide for the team, right? As mainly centered around mastering your personas, especially like with the new hires, when they join, I try to keep them as far away from product information for as long as I can. And it's centered, and they know that their onboarding is centered around two things for me. I need you to focus on first and foremost, mastering your craft. And secondly is mastering your personas. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of different prompts and like different examples. Cause we know like, it's just a filtering mechanism. Like you gotta play around with it and have some fun. So yeah, I could share those in a follow-up or something.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be great for people to see. Cause I feel like when it comes to ChatGPT, a lot of people treat it like a genie and that's wrong. But also once they get past that concept and they're like, okay, I can use it. Then they're like, well, what prompts should I use? Right. And I think just having those resources can be helpful. So I love that you broke that down. And to your point, like to understand your buyer personas, to understand the language and their sentiment, there isn't anything more powerful than that. Right. At the end of the day.
Yeah. What I've been telling the team is just like, dude, think of this, think of AI as like your personal chief of staff. Right. I don't know who I saw say that. I think it was like maybe like Florin. I think he said that, like treat it as your personal assistant, your chief of staff. And that like stuck with me. Right. Like it is designed to help you and to save you time and to make you more efficient at your job, not to replace you. Right. Like A players at the end of the day will always be A players. They are the most adaptable. And they're the ones that are going to leverage this the right way.
100%. And I think that's a great call out. And when you think about what the future of AI is, obviously people are going to use the right way, but it's going to continue to evolve. Do you see it completely taking out a lot of the sales functions? Do you feel like it would only amplify us and we're going to be fine. Like, what's your take on like where this can go?
Oh God. Yeah. We could have a long talk.
It's a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole. But like, curious on how you think it's going to affect the outbound strategy. A lot of people saying that it's going to completely replace it.
I don't know. I just, I haven't been too concerned about it. I think it really just goes back to, and I think we've both heard a lot of people say it this way, but I think AI is going to replace the, I don't like to say it this way, but like the lazy reps, right? Like,
I mean, it's real though.
It is. And that, I mean, it's going to replace the lazy reps and, you know, like our A players and especially like our A player leaders are gonna, you know, that's another thing that I really appreciate. Our president and COO, one of the first questions he ever asked to me was, I need you to start obsessing over how your team is going to master AI. And I was like, you mean like how Talkdesk, how we're going to sell AI? He's like, No. I mean, how it's going to make you better in your roles. Right. So that again, it goes back to like having that buy-in and that, you know, that common language all the way up to our leadership. So they too know exactly how we're using it, how we intend to use it. There's obviously many other ways. But yeah, I'm excited for the future, man. And especially as you know, Google and all these things, the Gmail suite is rolling out. What's going to happen next fiscal year from an emailing standpoint, from a spam standpoint? It gets me more excited to eliminate bad behaviors and to also force people to get back on the phones and become much better there. I think it's going to drive more right behaviors. I know I don't like the shit that's sent to me on a daily, weekly basis. Yeah, I almost never reply, and I only do when it's deserved or earned.
I mean, that's fair. There's so much going on. And so as we wrap up here, one of the last question, right? You talked a lot about AI, and this could be the answer to the question, but we're going into 2024 very, very quickly here. What are some things that sales development leaders should be focused on?
Things that sales development leaders should be focused on going into the new year?
Yeah.
I think, I don't mean to continue to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to go back to like the mastering conversation. So first and foremost, like we have to think about when these reps are joining, how backwards some of the enablement is. And like, we have to take a big part in helping like redesign that with the enablement team. And you know, whether you have a playbook, you don't have a playbook, that is something that needs to be like tweaked and iterated at least on a monthly basis. And it has to be centered around, you know, like how to master their craft and how to master their personas, right? If we're going to teach them product information, then a pitch that backs that information, then we introduce them to prospects, then we introduce them to the questions we ask. Like, think about how backwards that is. Like, if you can master your personas and the problems you solve for them, and that is the foundation you build in your onboarding, then when you're slowly exposed to more product training, think about how much easier it is to connect the dots. Now, when you're learning and creating your own pitch, it's not the same pitch because you know better. You know, this pitch isn't actually relevant to the head of customer experience. This is actually something I would say to a CIO. But when your training is backwards like that, how are they ever going to know that, right? And so I think that's a big one. One of my favorite things that Ralph Barcy had taught me was, you know, having that mindset of mastering your craft. Like, you think about like an electrician, you better be a master of your craft. Otherwise, you know, you could kill yourself, you could kill someone else. Why should it be any different for us? So it's expectations that I set even in the interview process. You know, when, because folks want to become an SDR and they want to run off as quickly as possible. And it's like, you know, one of the biggest disservices I can do to my people is, even if they're performing, if I think there's a lack of personal and professional development in themselves, I try to make it crystal clear that, you know, this inevitably will catch up and bite you in the ass. Like, it's only a matter of time. So while you're here, there's so much you can learn. Master it. Work with me. We will get you there the right way, in the best way.
I think that's the best way to end it. on that bar. So Justin, thanks so much for hop on the show and for everyone listening. Tons of insights and advice y'all can dive into. And yeah, we'll see y'all on the next one. Cheers, everybody.